We find here, I think every one of us has a tendency to worry. Now, the Lord knew we'd worry because he spent so much time in the Bible talking about it. Be careful for nothing. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't watch out and be careful. It means to have excessive care. It means full of care. That's what the word means. Be full of care for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's Philippians 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. Don't worry about anything. That's what it means. Now, there are many common things about which people worry. I tried to find a list of things, and you know, everybody has a little different opinion, and there are several things that make everybody's list, kind of, sort of. So here are a few things that people worry about. And, you know, I've worried about these things. You've worried about these things. And we'll hopefully not worry about them as much as we did yesterday when we finish with today, okay? Now, what are some things people worry about? People worry about work. Will I have a job? Will I have a career? How's my job going? How's my career going? You know, a lot of things at work to worry about. There are. I mean, we go in there tomorrow morning and deal with everybody, right? And all different personalities. And, you know, it's tricky sometimes. And in this economy, there's a lot of other things we worry about with work. How about money? You ever know anybody that worried about money? Oh, come on. And we worry about money. And we worry, am I going to be able to pay my bills? Do I have enough money? What's going to happen, you know, if I lose my job? How am I going to pay for my house? How am I going to pay for my rent? How am I going to pay for my car? How am I going to worry? How am I going to take care of everything? Money, okay? Health. People worry about their health, don't they? I mean, there used to be a time where you didn't worry about your health because you didn't have any cares in the world and your health was perfect. And then you get a little older and you go to the doctor and it says, well, we got to test this and we got to send you off for that. And I thank God for COVID. I had a couple tests that I never had them now. And we were scheduled and it never happened. And so I know I'm doing good because I haven't had to have the test. I didn't get any bad news, right? So I'm sure. And it's on my wife's to-do list. And anyways, it's coming up. But, you know, those tests and you worry about your health and you think, boy, you know, my cholesterol numbers are like through the roof, right? And now I look at labels. I don't do anything different, but at least I look at the label, right? It's like 5%. Man, I can eat 20 of these today. And but there's good cholesterol, I found out. And so I did have a book. I put it in the trunk of my car. I drove around a couple thousand miles with it, and I don't know where it is now, but it was about your cholesterol. And so, you know, cholesterol and your heart and all these things, you got to worry about that, right? You don't want to have a stroke and a heart attack and, you know, all these different things. So we worry about our health, don't we? And all different things, and diabetes, right? Diabetics love cupcakes. I don't know why that is, so I'm kind of thinking, maybe if I get diabetes, I can eat more cupcakes, and you guys eat those cupcakes. Like, just take a pill. It'll go away. Don't worry about it, okay? All right. People worry about their health, all right? People worry about their family. They worry about their family. Oh, what's going to happen in my family? And maybe you got family problems, and that'll keep you up at night. And you got family situations that cause you to worry, and you think about it. And I mean, all day long, it's kind of like right there, right in front of your eyes, you know. Hey, how you doing? And you got that thing that you worry about because it's real. You worry about your family. You worry about your spouse. You worry about your marriage. You worry about your kids. You worry about your parents, family. People worry about what others think. I saw that on the list. It kept showing up. I'm like, worry about what others think. Why do you worry about that? Well, we do, right? What do others think? What do other people think about me? And people worry about that. And what do my neighbors think about me? What do my so-called friends think about me? What about the people at work? And so it kind of is all intertwined. What do people think of me? Here's one. People worry about the past. I can't change the past, but I worry about it. My past is something that is part of my life, and maybe it's a part that you wish you could change, but you can't. People worry about that. And then people worry about the future. I think we all worry about some of these things, and some of them more than others, but people worry about the future. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in 5 years? Will there be 5 years? What's going to happen? What's the future hold? What about my children? What about their future? What about my grandkids? You worry about those things. People find a variety of ways to deal with the things that make them worry. I was just thinking of all different kind of people. Everybody has a different coping mechanism for worry. Now, thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. We almost thought you weren't there. We were worried, but we didn't worry too much. Now, some people plan, and they find that planning to solve their problems helps alleviate their fears. And so they say, okay, whatever, let's just pick health. All right, so I'm planning for my health. I'm going to have a test about this over here. I'm going to go see the doctor every 6 months. I'm going to go see the dentist every 6 months. I'm going to have a physical. I'm going to have my blood checked, my cholesterol checked, my enzyme levels. I'm going to get everything checked. I'm going to exercise, right? I'm going to do push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups. I'm going to, you know, run after cars and do all kinds of stuff. And so they have a plan. And they solve their problem by having a plan, and they put it down on paper. But sometimes the problem is compounded when the best plans go awry. You ever look at your 401k? Oh, look at it and go, what? I have my finances all planned. And then what happened? The bottom kind of fell out and just go, all right. And so the best plans go awry. There's a possibility that our new plan can be worse than our old plan. You ever do that? Jump out of the frying pan right into the fire? Okay, we've all done that. Now, the other thing we've seen is some surprise can come out of nowhere and destroy our new plan as well. And so we make a plan, and we try to be organized and scheduled, and so I don't worry about it. And then all of a sudden, something comes out of left field, and boom, oh, where did that come from? I wasn't planning on that. I didn't think of that. That was just a wild card. Let me stress, planning is important. We ought to plan. We ought to prepare for tomorrow. We ought to prepare for next year, 10, 20, 30 years from now. We ought to prepare. Plan for your family, not just yourself. You know, that's why I said a few years ago, I'll say it again, it's been a while. Fella, you ought to have life insurance on you, okay? If you're married, you ought to have life insurance. You can buy life insurance cheap, all right? When you die, your poor wife is stuck with all those bills that you both accumulated together, and now you're not here. And she's got to take care of all that and take care of the kids and take care of the mortgage and take care of the car and figure out, because you had too many cheeseburgers, right? And you're happy because you're in heaven, but she's here. So get life insurance, right? Term life insurance. This isn't an advertisement, but I'm worth more money dead than alive. So if something ever happens to me, never mind. No. Plan not just for yourself, plan for your family. He did like cheeseburgers. Why did his wife give him triple cheeseburgers, right? I took my dad to Five Guys the other day. Man, I always get the same thing. I'm a glutton for it. It's expensive. I mean, it's more expensive than going to a fancy restaurant. Double cheeseburger with bacon loaded all the way. Man, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out. It's the big one. He had a smile on his face. Now, I go there once a year, twice a year, maybe. Number next, some people deal with worry by getting overly busy. You ever meet somebody like that? I mean, they don't want to have any time to think about what's bugging them. They don't want to have any time to worry, and so they get busy, and they do all this stuff, and they're like, I can't believe all this energy that you have, and you're doing this, and you're doing that, and you're doing that, and they're keeping their time filled, so they're exhausted at the end of the day, and they have to worry. It's like, oh, and they just crash. So people deal with things different ways. People work a lot sometimes to forget. Hey, why do you work 80 hours a week? I mean, you got enough stuff, you're good, right? No, they're trying to forget about something. So they keep themselves occupied and busy and with other people maybe, so they don't have to be alone sometimes. And so they're working and they're trying to forget about what's worrying them at night. They pick up extra shifts. Look, it's good to plan, but I'm just saying some people deal with this. Some people get a part-time job just so they don't have to worry about things so much. Often, sometimes, a person will take up a hobby to keep them busy. Hobbies are nice. I love hobbies. But sometimes people pick up a hobby so they don't have to think about what's causing them to worry. How about this? Sadly, some turn to sin. Some people turn to alcohol. And they say, you know, I'm just going to forget about my problems because I'm going to drown them out with alcohol. And guess what? When they wake up, they're worse. Or they turn to drugs. And they try to forget about their problems. May I encourage you today, look at our text in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Can you read that with me? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hey, we've got all these things, family problems, money problems, future, past, work, what do people think about me? All these different things and 100 more. And Jesus said, be careful for nothing. Casting all your care upon him. May I encourage you today to cast your care upon God. Cast your care upon God. Now, what does it mean to have care? This is an interesting word. The word care means to draw in different directions. So you're trying to focus on, okay, this is my family, and this is my career, this is what I have to do to take care of my family, and these are my needs, and all of a sudden, boom, something's pulling you, Brother Gus, like a human wishbone. You know, can you picture that? All of a sudden, you get these different people pulling at you, and somebody's pulling on your legs. Right? I was going to have four guys like try to rip me in half, right? But you'd probably love that too much, so I'm not going to do it. I'm worried about it. And so you get like a human wishbone, and you're being pulled this way, and you're being pulled that way, and you're being dragged that way. And all these things are pulling at all different parts of your body to be drawn in different directions. It means to distract, that which causes you to lose focus. It's easy to lose focus when you're worried about something. You find yourself daydreaming, and somebody says, you okay? Or you're staring off, or maybe you half finish a sentence, right? And you don't, and somebody says, no, what was that? And you're like, I don't know, I forgot what I was talking about, right? We've all done that. Because we have care that pulls us in all different directions, that distracts us. It means an anxious care, and that is the same word from which we get anxiety. We sing that little song, don't we? All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. But you know what we do? We pick it back up, don't we? Here, I want to take this back because I'm comfortable in my worry. I'm comfortable in my anxiety. Anxious care. Jesus said, and it's recorded in three Gospels. Why don't you look at one of them, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And it's also recorded in Matthew 13 and Mark 4. But Luke chapter 8 and verse number 14, he talks about a sower sowing the word of God. And different people receive the word of God different ways. Sometimes they're hard soil. Sometimes they're fertile soil. Sometimes they're stony ground. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with what? Cares. And riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So the Bible says here that Jesus told us that the word of God can come into our life, and yet there are things that would keep it from having fertile ground to grow and to receive root in it. The word of God is sown. Many things can choke the effectiveness of God's word in your life. You know, riches that was listed there. Riches can cause us to become self-sufficient. I don't need God. I can buy my way out of whatever problem I have. Pleasure. The pleasure of this life. How many times have you met somebody and they said, no, I'm not ready for God. I'm having too much fun. I'll come to God. I'll come to Christ. I'll come to salvation maybe when I'm done having all my fun. Because I know that I won't have any fun when I come to God. Boy, that's a lie, isn't it? You have more fun in Christ and you won't have any guilt either. The pleasures of this life. But this first thing that chokes the word is cares. The cares of this world. Now, those aren't bad things. They're just normal things. Those aren't bad things. They're just things that we have to deal with every day because we're alive. We're a human being on the planet Earth. The other two Gospels call it the cares of this world. Cares choke the word of God. If you're so worried about so many things, even the word of God will be something you want to distance yourself from, but that's what we need the most. Can I say this? Living life grinds you down. Living life grinds you down. It wears you down. Look, we get osteoporosis, don't we? It's proof, right? Living life just grinds you down. Living life can cause a toll on you. How many times have you heard a doctor say, hey, stress is making your blood pressure go up, right? I mean, really? Salt does too, but you can see that. And so we find that living life grinds us down. Hey, those seven things people are worried about. Work, money, health, family, what others think, past, future. Hey, can I add another one? War. Where did this come from 2 weeks ago, right? I mean, you can see a building, right? And you look at it and you go, really? They're going to elevate the nuclear thing, you know, and somebody's got their finger on a red button just waiting to push. What's going to happen? I don't know, but it causes people to worry. Peter was writing to people who are suffering. I said, you know, here's an interesting thing. I'm reading this word suffering in 1 Peter. It's not mentioned in 2 Peter, but in 1 Peter, about 12 times, the word suffering is mentioned. These people are suffering. Look at chapter 3, or chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Were these people suffering? Apparently they were. Did they deserve their suffering? No. Look at verse 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Here were people, they were living a normal life, they were living a Christian life, and they were suffering for their Christianity. Look at verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. His steps of what? An example in suffering. Verse 23. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Hey, think about this. Jesus committed his suffering to the Father. When Jesus was suffering, he committed himself to God, and he said, God, you know all about my suffering. I'm going to cast all my care upon you. Hey, he's our example in suffering. He didn't lash out. Look at chapter 3. He committed his soul to God. Verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye in suffering. Yeah, that's what it says. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be what? Troubled. Sounds like it could be worried, don't you think? Neither be troubled. Verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Look at verse number 19. Chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Verse number 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. You mean sometimes you're in the will of God and you suffer? Sometimes you're in the will of God and you have all these things kind of fall apart in your life? And it could cause you to worry? What should you do? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When you go through suffering, when you go through pain and affliction and sorrow and trouble. Chapter 5, verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. These people that Peter was writing to suffered as Christians. And he said, okay, you're going to suffer, but you can be happy. You're going to suffer. And Christ suffered. And he committed himself to God the Father in his suffering, casting all your care upon him. See, we know what care is. Care is that which pulls us in different directions. Care is that which distracts us and keeps us from focusing because we've got all these things to worry about. Now, what does casting mean? Casting all your care. Hey, I know I've got care. I can sit down and I can write out a list right now of all the things that I can care about, all the things I can be careful for, and all the things I can be worried about. Some of them are big, some of them are small, some of them aren't even on the list because I've got bigger things that just took over the list. Casting all your care upon him. Casting means to cast upon. Let's look at this. Here's an illustration of the word Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. Jesus is going into Jerusalem on a colt. And the people come in a crowd. And this word cast is used in Luke 19 in verse number 35. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Can you imagine? They took their coat, their garment, and they cast it upon the colt, and then Jesus sat on it. Guess what? They didn't have it anymore, did they? No, because he's sitting on it. Hey, wouldn't that be great? Casting all your care upon him. Now, guess what? I don't have that anymore. He has it. You know, I can go to sleep at night and say, Lord, you've got all my care, and you neither slumber nor sleep, and you're going to be up all night anyway, so here, you think about it. I'm going to bed. Casting all your care upon him. But you know what we do? We do it like this. All right, I got my care cast on the Lord. And kind of, sort of. But you know, I've had this for so long, it's kind of a familiar friend. Maybe we take one, you know, one arm and say, all right, I'm casting all my, it is my cares on the Lord. But guess what? It's not all the way there. I've got some of it over in my hand still. I can take it back. I didn't leave it there. Sorry, all you people over here. I didn't leave it there. I kept some of it. You can cast all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. You can cast all of your money concerns, all of your family concerns, all of your health concerns, all of your job concerns, all of your past concerns, all of your future concerns, all of what in the world is going on today concerns upon him. Why? He careth for you. God is not a spectator of your life. God is involved in your life. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Someone said this, it matters to God about you. You matter to God. All the things going on in your life, they're important to God. God did not just wind you up and turn you loose. God said, I love you. I'm interested in you. I see what's going on in your life. I know and I care. God cares. Where should we start? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 4. We should start the only place we can start. Verse number 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their what? Souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Where should we start? We should start with our eternity. Have you cast the keeping of your soul upon him? Have you come to God and said, okay, I'm worried about my eternity. I'm worried about where am I going to go when I die? And God said, I've already taken care of that. I gave my only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to take all of your sins and mark them paid, the past, the present, the future, and to give you an opportunity to go to heaven. If you ask Jesus Christ to save your soul, you can cast the care of your soul upon me because I paid for it with Christ's blood. So we've got to come to Christ, first of all, and say, okay, I'm a sinner. I'm a hell-deserving sinner. Jesus died for me. He was buried and he rose again. I'm casting my soul, hope of eternity, upon him. Casting all your care upon him, the soul. Committing our soul as unto him, a faithful creator. Commit the keeping of their souls to him. Hey, why am I going to heaven someday? Because I committed my keeping of my soul to my faithful creator when I was 5 years old. From that day till this day, I know I'm going to heaven, not because I've done anything myself, but because he's done all of it, and I've received his payment for my sins. Have you cast the keeping of your soul upon God? That's where we start. Where should we continue? We should cast all that we have upon him and trust him completely. That's faith. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Is he worthy of keeping my care? Yes, he is. I've got things I'm worried about. Guess what? He's bigger than that. So I can take all those things that bother me and all those things that give me anxious concern and fret and heartache and worry, and I can say, okay, you are a faithful creator. I'm giving it all to you. That's faith for our daily living. Be careful for nothing. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Be careful, full of care for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. Don't be full of care for your future. God's already been in tomorrow. Whatever happens, he's already seen it. Don't be full of care about your past. You can't change it. Just go on. The devil wants you to think about your past. The Bible says in 1 Peter that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Sometimes, you know, if you're driving your car and you keep looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to hit what's right in front of you. You don't stare at the rearview mirror. You don't stare at the side mirrors. You glance at them once in a while. But most of your time, 99% of your time, you're looking out the windshield to see where you're going today. Hey, your past is back there. You know what I say? Hit the accelerator. Guess what? Whatever's behind you, it's a red light. Okay, hit it. No, never. Don't do that. Hit the accelerator. You'll go faster, right? Just keep on moving for God. The past, The past is gone. What about my family? I'm worried about that. Okay. Did you cast it upon him? Did you come to God and say, God, I can't fix this, whatever it is in my family, but you know all about it. I can worry about it. I can fret about it. Lord, I want to do things to make it work. But God, whatever it is, I'm giving it to you. Casting all your care upon him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Hey, pray about work. Try that. If we'd spend as much time praying as we did worrying, we could solve some things because God would answer. Prayer and supplication, begging God with thanksgiving. How about for your money? Oh, God, what am I going to do with that? God, how am I going to pay my bill? Talk to God about that. Your health. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice the next verse, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, no side effects. I'm anxious. What am I going to do? So gobble some pills. Oh, what am I going to do now? Gobble some other ones to take care of the side effects from those. And then drink this and take that and blow your ears out. I don't know. What am I going to do? I don't know. Talk to God. Guess what he said? He said if you cast your care upon him, he would give you the peace that passeth all understanding. Hey, how can you be so calm in all the trouble? Because I've cast all my care upon him. And he careth for me. So I can't do anything about it. He knows all about it. I can't change it. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to eat grapes and yogurt and granola bars and all that good. You know, I'm going to eat whole grains and vegetables and green leafy vegetables. But you know what? If they tell me it's cancer, I can't do anything. I'll take the medicine, right? I'll go to the treatment, whatever it is. I can't. I'm going to have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. God already knew. The end result is the peace of God. People can't figure that out. You can't prescribe that. God can give that. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Somebody else's, their whole life is just tumultuous. And you got a smile on your face. You know, you can't be happy. The peace of God. Our hearts will be kept. Our emotions will be kept. Our mind will be kept. That's what it says. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Do you think God just put that in there because he did? He's like, well, what word should I put in there? I haven't used heart for 27 chapters, so let's put that one in there. It's on purpose. I walked into the coffee shop. I'm always happy when I go into a coffee shop. And I was in the coffee shop on Friday. And I don't know what I guess I was noisy. And the lady in front of me, she's getting her coffee, and so I just do. And she turns around and she goes, it's good to hear somebody who's happy. And I'm like, I wasn't saying anything. And I realized I was humming. Happy, I'm singing that song. We're singing it quite. Happy am I. Jesus is mine forever. And she goes, it's nice to hear somebody who's happy. I'm like, well, yeah, you should be happy, right? Richard Simmons had somebody who was happy. Remember that? All right. Never mind. Whatever happened to that guy? Richard Simmons, he like disappeared. He's still around? Okay, he wasn't my hero or anything, but he was very charismatic. He was very happy. He was very happy, okay? If I get a wig up here, you'll know what happened, all right? It's all available through Christ Jesus. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can't have your hearts and minds kept through anything else than Christ Jesus. It doesn't have my name in there. It doesn't have your name in there. It's Christ's name in there. Casting all your care upon him. Be careful for nothing. Oh, I'm still going to work hard. I'm still going to do everything I can do. But at the end of the day, when I've done everything, I'm going to say, okay, Lord, now it's all up to you. And it was up to you before that. I can't do this. You can do it. It's available through Christ Jesus. We cast some. Here's the thought. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus talking. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Look at verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, we walk around life with a heavy load. Trade your heavy load for Jesus' light burden. He said, you're heavy laden. Laden means to be heaped upon. All of the baggage of life is heaped upon you. Guess what? Tomorrow's Monday. Oh, here's another baggage. Guess what? The roof is leaking. Oh, great. Guess what? The drain is leaking. I got to fix that tomorrow. Boof. Guess what? The light's broken. Yeah, thanks a lot. Boof. Hey, guess what? The cat didn't run away. Boof. Guess what? The dog. Guess what? You got a health problem. Guess what? You got a bill in the mail. Guess what? The car's got to be fixed. Guess what? This is overdue. Guess what? The kids are sick. Guess what? I don't know, just name it. The mother-in-law is mad at you. All right, what's new? And they just keep piling on and piling on. I can't, my hearing's going out. My eyes are going out. I can't remember stuff anymore. I'm getting old. I'm falling apart. Yes, all these things are leaning on you. They're loaded upon you. They're heaped up. All the baggage of life. We labor and are heavy laden alone. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Hey, we didn't come. He invited us to come. Come unto me. We labor alone. We come to Christ. What does he offer? Rest. What does he offer? His yoke. You ever see those things above a garage? You know, they get those two things. They hook up a couple oxen or horses. A yoke. He offers his yoke. He says, you can learn of me. Hey, when Jesus is in the yoke next to you, you'll have companionship with your labor. When Jesus is in the yoke next to you, you'll have someone to bear your burden with you. You'll have companionship. You'll have help. And you'll have friendship. That's what we need. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, the blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. That's what we need today. He says, you can learn of me. But we wouldn't learn of him if we didn't have the burden. You see, our burden, Brian, is kind of a blessing. Because if I didn't have my burden, I'd say, you know what? I got this, right? I can go through life spinning the basketball on my finger. And God says, well, I'm going to take your finger away. Oh, now what do I do? God says, come to me. And you got a burden now. You got a heavy burden. A heavy thing on your plate. You got more than you can bear. Come to me. I say, okay, I have to come to you now. Before I was getting along just fine. Now I've got no choice. I'm laden down with care. Rest under your souls. Eternal rest. Notice, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Come unto me and I will give you this. We come to Christ and he makes us. The problem that some people have is they're trying to make themselves. They're trying to be a self-made man or a self-made woman, and they're trying to make themselves. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. We say, I got this. I can do it myself. Stop trying to make yourself. Come to Christ and let him make you. Hey, if you're trying to make yourself, how's it going? Well, it's going pretty good so far. Well, the jury's not in yet. Well, it's going pretty terrible. Okay, stop and just say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to let Christ make me. Didn't he have a marred vessel in the book of Jeremiah? And the marred vessel was still in the potter's hand. Thank God for that. He doesn't throw the clay away. And he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. But it had to be yielded to the potter. Hey, if you're not a big urn, right, that has flowers in it, thank God you can still be a doorstopper, right? Didn't David say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, right, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness? I'd rather just be a doorstopper in God's economy doing something really important than be a trophy in the devil's case doing absolutely nothing that matters for eternity. Bring your burdens to the Lord. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 50. In Psalm chapter 50 and verse number 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Look at Psalm 55, verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and what? He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden upon the Lord. You ever think he ducked the burden? hey, here comes a burden from that Carlson guy. I'm not catching that one. Finney moves. Sorry, I'm not taking that. You're going to have to pick that one back up. I'm not carrying it. No, cast thy burden upon the Lord. What burden do you have this morning? Do you think the Lord, he said, casting all your care upon him. Well, my care is too personal. God already knows about it. My care is too embarrassing. God already knows about it. My care is too painful. There's nothing too painful that God can't bear it. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Bring your burden to the Lord. We bring him everywhere else. We come to Christ and he saves us. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here is an offended God, and I've offended him. And he says, come to me with your sin, and I'll cleanse you. If I can come to him with my sin, and he can save me as a Christian, can I come to him with my care and my burden and leave it with him? If he's big enough God to pay for my sin and take me to heaven, he's a big enough God to take my burden that I bear on the way there. What is a yoke designed for? Take my yoke upon you. A yoke, it's interesting. A yoke is designed to curb the will and bring one under control. Think about that. Come unto me, all ye that labor. I'm working all by myself. I'm heavy laden. All the things of life are just piled on me. Take my yoke upon you. What do I have to do? I have to say, okay, I'm going to curb my will and I'm going to submit to your will. I'm going to curb my desires and I'm going to live for your desires. I'm going to stop running all over the pasture and I'm going to focus on, okay, wherever Christ goes, that's where I'm going because we're in the yoke together. A yoke is designed to curb the will and bring one under control. Look back to our text and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. However, before that, look at verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God is trying to get us to submit and to humble ourselves. If we're so proud, we'll carry that burden till the day we die, and we may die early. If we're so proud, we'll carry that worry with us and the thing that keeps us up at night. Instead, God says, okay, get the submission part in your life in order, whatever it is, submit yourselves one to another, whatever the situation is in your personal life, get it in order. And then God says, humble yourself under God's hand. Submit yourself to God. And then he said, now that you're humble, instead of taking all your care, cast it on me. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Make the choice today. Bring your burdens and bring your cares to the Lord. Father, pray that this morning you'd help us to be attentive to what has been preached this morning about our burdens and our cares. Lord, we all have them. Lord, some have very heavy burdens this morning. Some have cares that if we were to even know a little bit, we'd be shocked. And yet you're a big enough God, a faithful creator, who we can commit the keeping of our soul. And Lord, our cares are something you invite us to bring to you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Be careful for nothing. What are you full of care about? It's real. It's real. It's not something that's funny. It's not something that's pretend. It's real. Can I encourage you today? Humble yourself in the sight of God. Take his yoke upon you and say, Lord, I can't do this. I am casting my care upon you. Thank you for caring for me. Maybe this morning you've got a burden Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care. Can I encourage you today? Bring it to God. Leave it with God and trust God.